You found us. We're here live. That's right, live Financial Talk Radio. You're listening to Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap with Gregory Ricks. A lot of good stuff. We're going to talk about money. Does that surprise you? Since it's live Financial Talk Radio, got to sort. What do you do if you inherit an annuity? You're inheriting a non-qualified annuity. Do you know what the rules are with all those profits? We'll talk about it.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. We have another inheritance story to talk about. And this is hilarious, Gregory, because it was something that was on GregoryRicks.com. There's a whole blog there if you want to go do a little research on your own or think, man, I need to learn some of the basics. I like this show. We have it all on the blog. You can search by category. But I reposted an article that you'd put on the blog from last summer. And it was spelling out, what do you do if you inherit an inherited IRA? As in, I pass away and I leave my IRA to my kid. And then when he passes away, it's not all spent down and it goes on to his kid. The rules are different than the first guy who inherits it. The actuarial table changes. And so it was going through all this sort of, you were making this flow chart in your head of how this worked. And then, I mean, I posted that 12 minutes later. We got a comment on it that says, well, is it the same if your spouse inherits it and then it goes to the kid? And I went back and I checked the article. It didn't answer the question. So I commented back on Facebook. We'll have to answer that one during the show. And look, she knows we're on the air right now, doesn't she? Hi.
Answered it. I'm kind of busy right now.
No, I just answer it and leave it open on the table here and she'll figure it out real quick. So we got that going on. The numbers is going to be a little fun. So where you want to start? Your inheritance story, my inheritance story, or the numbers?
Let's do the numbers first, get it out the way, because when you look at it, it's real simple. It ended about where it started, right?
Yeah, well,
somewhere.
Wasn't that simple during the course of the day?
Welcome it never back. Is, because how the morning looks. Look, this morning, pre-market, down. And then we got the GDP numbers and, I don't know, and China and North Korea are back buds again, and market starts reacting to different things. But I did like the GDP numbers, the final number for the fourth quarter, you know, got bumped up. But however the market starts in the morning, that's no guarantee that it's ending up anywhere like that during the day. So it got higher and then it got much lower and then it pulls its pants up, gets its boots on and struggled to hang in there somewhere in the afternoon. Kind of good description. And this was a calm day. As it goes.
And after all that, it was down 9 points. After all that, it was down 0.04%.
So I think the story of, it's always something. One day it's Facebook and one day it's Snapchat. And I think today was two stories. Amazon.
Yes.
And Tesla going all to hell. It's Tesla going to hell, not
I thought they were going to
Amazon.
Mars.
Oh, well, they're going to Mars, but he's going to wish he had that car back to sell because there is no more money. He's got $1 billion in bonds coming due, and they can only muster up maybe 1,000 cars a week, and I'm still hadn't seen them produce a semi from the factory. Got all these orders.
They're still only, they haven't figured out the bottleneck?
I actually Googled. I did. I Googled, why can't Tesla build cars? I didn't find any answer.
Google don't know either.
No, nobody knows, but, and you've got all the stock hyperinflated. You've got, and then instead of bringing investors in to take a piece of the company, they issue bonds. So, okay. Yeah, that was a great idea at that moment, but now it's a nightmare because this is going to, when you can't pay the interest rate on the bonds or pay off the bonds, that's kind of a problem, isn't it, for big companies?
Mm-hmm.
That especially ones that don't have cash flow, positive cash flow. So it's called bankruptcy there. And I'm sure there's some value, but not at, was 300 recently and still's over 250, but still it's, that's not proper price company that's going broke.
You know, I love what this does to the narrative that was began when he shot that rocket off with the Tesla up in there. Because at the time and the storyline, and I was kind of getting swept up in the magic as well, that, man, this is going to be awesome. Off in the future, you know, people are going to say, yeah, that Tesla that's up there floating between here and Mars, that was the first car to go to Mars and all this stuff. And we're going to have to explain to our kids, because they're going to say, what's a Tesla?
Does this name become like the Edsel one day? And you know what he did was take a great name, inventor, and use it.
Oh, Nikola Tesla?
Yeah.
I think the band had already co-opted that. Remember that, the band Tesla?
Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of like, really? This is how this is going to end?
But there's,
well, he's always Rocket Man if the battery car thing doesn't work.
Yeah, but that car floating in space becomes a punchline if this company folds. Oh, really? You had money to put a car in space? You could put one of these in space, but you can't produce enough to fill your orders. Priorities.
And make money.
Right. Can't make a buck.
Yeah. As a production bottleneck. Well, I'm still, where is that bottleneck at?
Well, for the rest of the indices, they were down a little bit more. S&P was down 0.3%. NASDAQ's down 0.85%. Does that put the NASDAQ back in correction territory or something?
Well, they're down. They're down for the year. They're down for the year. They're not in positive territory for the year.
But there is one big stock that's in correction territory. Now that is Amazon. Do you see that? It's 10% off its all-time high.
Yeah, that's kind of why I pointed that. You know, every day it's another one of the techs having trouble. Facebook for a few days, and now Amazon and Tesla, kind of in that category too. So it's double whammy.
Not feeling too sorry for the guy. He's still rich as all get out, and he's got a heck of a company. But Netflix took it on the chin too. Netflix was, oh, here, we're skipping through. Go to your debt instruments before we get into all that. I was jumping.
We're at 2.78 on the yield, so we moved down a little bit more today. That puts us somewhere. Look, this isn't quite accurate, so you have to talk to your mortgage guy. But we're looking at 30-year fix at 4.44. And it's lagging. That could actually be a little lower, but then again, it might be higher. But we've seen interest rates move down, but this number hasn't moved down. So I just hedging that a little bit. Let's see where crude oil ended up today. Like, where'd it go? It didn't show up on my screen. What do you have for crude? I'm like blank.
64.56. Right, I'm looking at the aftermarket number, okay, but it's so at the same as
down a little bit. And gold and silver?
Well, gold was down quite a bit. It's down to 1,326, and just a couple days ago, it was above 150. Where was it at? 152 over here is where it closed. What was that, on Monday or Friday? So you have a big drop there, but you see the price of oil going down as well. So what are we looking at? Stronger dollar? Is that what's going on with this when they both move in tandem like that? All right, now can we go to our short sheet here?
Yep.
Because, you all right?
Yeah, just my commodities didn't show up at all today.
I get nervous.
I was shorted on the commodities.
I see what you did. You were short. Yeah. Hey, so how much longer does GE have? This is just a one-minute discussion from Varney yesterday.
Here's another very famous, well-known company and stock. It's called General Electric.
Oh, yeah.
It's at $12.84 per share. By the way, GE, amazingly, is now worth less than Netflix. Okay, the market value of GE is below Netflix.
It's got to be worth something at $12.84. The breakup value, at least parts of their operations, are worth more than that.
Thank you. Would you be definitive? Would you buy it at $12.84?
I would buy it at $12.84. I think it's a long run undervalued stock because we have started to value House of Cards more than making a great jet engine or a great electrical generation turbine.
So you could buy it.
Yes, things that drop on our, that we can hurt when we drop on our feet are undervalued right now. That's where bargains are to be found.
Would you buy it at 12?
We own the stock a little bit higher than this. So, yes, I'm watching it. I would like to see some sort of a bottoming pattern, but yes, we'll buy more of GE. I think there's a lot of value.
You know, I would have to say that $12 a share, less value than Netflix, that's a bottoming operation.
But it keeps going down, though. It does. I want to see it go down on big volume, stop, kind of start to move higher, and that's where we'd re-enter.
Barney & Company from Fox Business. That sounds a lot like us about 2 weeks ago, Gregory.
Well, would you buy it at $13.68 is the question, not $12.84, because it was up today. Look, they build jet engines, and they're one of the major players. There's not but, what, two or three companies that do that and do it really well. Rolls-Royce has one heck of an engine they build, and then there's probably somebody else, and I can't think of them now, but I just know, you know, GE and Rolls-Royce are the stalwarts in the jet engine business, and those things have to just, it's like putting a satellite up in geosynchronous orbit. You spend $1 billion, well, it has to work for a long time. There can't be any flaws. That's why it's so expensive. Well, those jet engines can't quit. They have to work every day, all day.
They seem to have a built-in niche, too. Who are they competing with for the electric turbines?
And what, those MRI machines and stuff like that? They do that, too, on the medical side. The jet engine business and these giant medical machines, that's kind of their core now. Everything else is kind of waste, and you'd have to think that's worth more than $12, but...
And historically speaking, still the last remaining original component of the Dow that's still alive with us. Is it still going to be with us anymore? I don't know how to get much lower, because whenever this comes up, whether it's you talking about it or other business-minded people, they look at the yield. When a stock gets this low and it has a dividend like that, that makes it a lot more attractive. You know, maybe the company's not doing so good, but the stock itself, loving on that one. I got over here. Is this what you're looking for?
Yeah, but I'm not able to hook you.
All right.
There. But I was just kind of looking at some of the symmetry on the stock movement. So we've got to move back up from a previous high, but will it break through that, or will it tank again?
Out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. Gregory Ricks here. I'm a preferred access member. I get to take my own car to the track. Yeah, it might be a fast one, but it gets to go there. Talk about going to another world and escape. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
Do yourself a favor. Put down your phone, put down your remote, get off the sofa, and treat yourself to some real entertainment. The Jefferson Performing Arts Society brings you the Louisiana premiere of Catch Me If You Can. Based on the hit movie, Catch Me If You Can is a big and bright experience with high-energy dance numbers and a riveting story. Catch Me If You Can plays April 13th to the 22nd at the beautiful Jefferson Performing Arts Center. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Definite Banking. What's your take on that?
I have a tax question. We haven't filed in 4 years.
My wife and I both have separate 401 accounts. Could I consolidate that money?
What's Gregory's thoughts on where to stick my money?
I got myself overwhelmed in credit card debt. Well, what can I do to get myself out of it?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Does that money that you put into a 401k, would that come off of your tax liability?
What the company's putting in is pre-tax, and what you're putting in is pre-tax if you're going the traditional route. Now, if you're doing a Roth version of the 401k, the individual is going to be paying tax on their contribution and paying tax on the company matching of that. I kind of like the idea myself of let's take advantage of the pre-tax money and let's create a Roth outside of that. And that way you also have other choices of where to invest money.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
Tell me what you want to hear.
This is Winning at Life, the daily wrap. We do it every evening at 7 on the stream and on the live feed. Download the Winning at Life app. You can text us, email us, call us from the touch screen. You can connect. There's a dashboard. It's pictured. We have a social media section. You can connect with me on my daytime job as a advisor / money manager. Or you just listen to the past podcasts broken down by topic. A lot of content out there. I am your host, Gregory Ricks. The phone number to join the conversation on the show, just dial us up. Let's talk about something to do with money. Could be debt, mutual funds, annuities, that lump sum pension, when to turn on Social Security. We had a lot of income conversations today at the office. It was very interesting. I love making people happy when their numbers work. Like, okay, good. I'm retiring in August, but I don't feel good about it. Then he left feeling good was one of the conversations. 504-260-0995. I'll do it again. You ready? Hold on. Ready? 504-260-0995. 995.
Let's do your inheritance story first.
Yeah. What happens when you inherit an annuity?
Okay.
Non-qualified annuity. Now we know income from annuities are taxed as ordinary income. I have a variable annuity. Okay. That tells me you're paying too much for it because there's fees. Fixed annuities typically don't unless you have an income rider. Okay, back to being non-qualified. Well, it's a variable. Well, I don't get a step-up basis. No, it's taxed as ordinary income on the gains when you take distributions. Also, it could be itemized and deducted as a capital loss against ordinary income. So that's interesting take. So keep that in mind, those that are upside down in a variable annuity. Okay, so we're talking about non-qualified. What is non-qualified? It means it's not an IRA. It's not a 401k. It's not a Roth. It's not a qualified plan. So it's non-qualified. What is that? Okay, it's like your savings account at the bank. You know what your savings account at the bank is? Non-qualified. Your brokerage account that you pay taxes on the capital gains or you have capital losses. You know, just your brokerage account. It's not titled as anything. It's a brokerage. It's non-qualified. So you have a non-qualified annuity. You've inherited it. And let's say it came from your mom. She put $100,000 in it and it's worth $250,000. General rule is if you undo that annuity, you're going to pay taxes on that $150,000 in growth, not the principal that she put in. That principal's called the cost basis. And you're probably, well, I don't get a step-up basis. No, you do not own annuities. It's taxes, ordinary income, and you're going to pay taxes on the gain when you undo it. Well, what if I just leave it there? You can leave it there, but at the end of 60 months beyond death, you have to distribute out that annuity. Why? Well, that's the IRS rules because they want their taxes. Is there an exception? Yes, there is.
Oh, good.
You can take, basically, it's based on an annuitization table, take life income from it, And you don't have to annuitize it. You just have to take the distributions every year out of it. And you're taxed on those distributions above the cost basis that comes out of that. So you don't have to undo it and create that big balloon tax bill at one time, but you can't go. So what if I do a 1035? That means take it and put from one annuity to another and hold the tax deferred status. You can do that, but still at the end of 60 months, you have to take all the money out unless when you shifted it over to your side, you started taking those lifetime distributions from it to please the IRS.
Does that follow under the term annuicide? You have to hit the switch where it's not coming back?
Well, that's annuitization. And this is a situation where I think it's better to take the life income distributions. You're not annuitizing it, but you have to take these lifetime distributions from it. There has to be a plan for Uncle Sam to get his money, or you have to cash it out within 60 months and pay the taxes. So you have two choices, but the tax bill is coming due, and this doesn't go through your estate unless there was not a named beneficiary. An annuity passes by beneficiary designation. It doesn't fall under the IRA rules. Well, is it a spousal inherited annuity or is it a non-spouse? Well, they're all non-spouse as far as that's concerned, because it's not like IRA that you have IRA rules. This has nothing to do with IRAs. This is not qualified money. The qualified annuity, IRA annuity, we handle completely differently. A spouse can take it, not have to take RMDs if the spouse is not 70 and a half, and you don't have to cash it out within 60 months as a spousal benefit. But if you're a non-spouse beneficiary on a qualified money, you're going to have to start taking RMDs. If you don't take RMDs, it follows the 60-month rule like a non-qualified annuity. I've got your head swimming yet?
I saw
your eyes roll back there.
I'm thinking of different scenarios here. So it's possible I can inherit an annuity and it's not done paying me before I pass on. Right?
It could be paying you a check from now on.
Because I'm not thinking about myself.
So then you're looking at where do we fix it on performance. The reason this came up, one of my advisors was asking me about this and brought up, you have a great idea. I said, well, hold on just a moment. And I ran through these rules with him. And I said, long as what you're doing conforms to this. The problem is the new client to be, had a variable annuity with about 3% in fees.
Yikes.
On that thing. So that isn't going to work well while taking distributions. You have to think of conservative yields. Yeah, it's long-term, it's probably not going to support that. But we have a fixed tool that we really like, a fixed index annuity that really has a great performance record with no fees. So that is kind of the perfect scenario that the client's looking for. He wanted fees to go away and he wanted risk to be reduced. And he'd like to not have to take the payments, but let's have it support the payments is the ideal situation. And that's what we're helping that client do.
See, I'm thinking about going forward for the kiddos. That'd be a good thing to have, because when you're around, it's doing what you want it to do as far as being a nice fixed product with the growth that's no risk in there. And then it turns over to the kids. That payout option is something I would prefer for them to do with the rest of the money they inherit anyway. I don't want my kids to take it all in a lump sum, have to pay a big tax bill.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that. And that is, you're getting, it's more about the income and then instead of access to the principal. Yeah, you have access to principal, but it's not all your principal, because there's a tax bill attached to it. But what's better is source of income, mailbox money, check hitting there every month. Multi-generational.
Yeah, and that's what you want to do. You want to set up your kids. You don't want them to have a big lump sum and they spend through it in 5 years and, yeah, they got a nice new car and paid down some of their bills, but then your legacy's gone. You know, that.
Well, you know what Kirk Cousins says about cars?
Not a fan there, is he?
No, they depreciate. He'd rather appreciating assets.
I don't think that.
Yeah, we kind of throw in a football term there, but this guy kind of lives like a pauper, yet he's making a lot of money.
But that's what you want to do. I would like for there to be 20 years after I'm dead, someone's getting a check that came from me. You know, it's almost like a constant reminder.
Ben Franklin, you're wanting to be.
Sounds like what he did.
Yeah.
And he did it for his two favorite cities, Philadelphia and Boston, and they both made it to the 90s, I believe.
Yeah. It went pretty long time before they busted it up.
I like that. I like that whole legacy plan. But, you know, we talk about Wes can set those things up with an estate plan or a trust or something, but you can avoid that and have it doing what you want now, and then without an extra machination, it's going to do what you want in the future.
You could put it into an irrevocable trust, have it play out that way, but you don't necessarily have to, because it's one of the core things. What is the purpose of annuities in general is to pay out lifetime income. So how do we structure that? Do you want risk on or risk off? I like risk off on those tools. I like to treat them as bond-like, but what's the purpose? Income, income, income that is consistent.
Yeah, so it would sort of be like the Parker Endowment, and it could just last for a generation or two.
There you go.
As long as we can have it going. All right, I'm going to start off with this next one. By the way, if you have any comments, questions, you want to poke Gregory's brain about this, 504-260-0995. Now, going back to qualified money, there was an article here from August of last year from GregoryRicks.com, inheriting an inherited IRA. And so what are the rules when you inherit an inherited IRA? A little different there. So when we get back, first we're going to cover what the rules are if you inherit an IRA. But what if you inherit that in IRA that was inherited by someone else? The rules are a little different for that guy. 504-260-0995. Or just download the Winning at Life app. You can call or text with a couple thumb pushes. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Two questions. Do you have a pulse? Do you own anything? If you said yes to both, you probably need a will. You may even need a trust. We all know a lawyer. Do you know someone who specializes in estate planning? Do you really trust the husband of your sister's friend from college? Or would you feel better putting your family in the hands of the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority? I'm Wes Blanchard. What's your plan? Offices in Metairie and at wjblanchardlaw.com.
Why do I love the Winning at Life app? Oh, let me count the ways. You can listen live, podcast on demand, call the show, text the show, watch the show, connect to all our social media. Basically, it's the answer to all your questions about the show.
Hey, I wanted to call the show, but I don't know the number.
Get the app.
Hey, you guys should put some videos online that teach about finance.
Get the app. And it connects you to the charts and graphs for the numbers segment. The Winning at Life app, your wallet's favorite app.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
There's this individual, he had awesome pension, Social Security, and a pretty good size 401k, but his thoughts were to give away the 401k, hitting big distributions and spreading it among the kids. And he's in his 60s. You can turn that on to start having a reasonable income from those assets. And what if you in turn need it because retirement's going to be a long time? I think it's a bad idea to spend it down. You know, it's kind of like, gosh, I love this goose. And it lays golden eggs. But you know, Easter's coming up and I sure want to eat me some goose. No. Go get you something else to eat. Let's keep the golden eggs coming out.
Call Gregory Ricks & Associates. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisory representative through Global Financial Private Capital. 504-832-9200 or GregoryRicks.com.
Thanks for listening to Winning at Life. By doing so, you have joined an elite demographic of people who tend to be more successful in their careers, have higher levels of education, and are generally winners. James Parker here. Wouldn't you like to get the message out about your awesome business to tens of thousands of other winners 6 days a week from Baton Rouge to Pensacola? Be on the winning team. Ask me about advertising, reasonable rates, a handsome spokesman, and an army of winners. Email james@gregoryricks.com.
The contents on this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take the place of your attorney, accountant, doctor, football coach, plumber, your plumber's gardener, pizza delivery man, or your nosy mother-in-law. This show does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
If you got a kiss on your lips that you're looking for somebody to take, if you got a heart that ain't afraid to love, ain't afraid to break.
This is Winning at Life. We like to count our wins. Piles of dollars, tens, twenties, hundreds, leads to big 401ks, non-qualified annuities too, qualified annuities. Let's see. Yeah, I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, live financial talk radio, 504-260-0995. Join the conversation.
All right. On GregoryRicks.com, if you go under the blog, it's titled simply Inheriting an Inherited IRA. So this is one of those things where this isn't cool, this isn't sexy, this isn't what everyone else is talking about, but it's important and it's useful. And it makes you a better person, and believe me, you want to know this stuff. So the IRS has some complicated rules, and it has to do mainly with how these things are titled. This is weird how the titling would matter so much in an IRA. But the IRS says the title should include the name of the original beneficiary and the successor's beneficiary's name, right? So that's what you have if you have an inherited IRA. Phyllis as the beneficiary of Mike, but that's kind of sloppy. They actually recommend that the wording should be Jim, deceased IRA, FBO Phyllis, comma, successor beneficiary of Mike. Oh, no, I'm too low.
Now, this, you're speaking of a non-spouse beneficiary.
Yes, this is non-spouse. All right, let me just spell the whole thing out. All right, so Jim has a beneficiary. He dies. I mean, Jim has an IRA. He dies. Mike is his beneficiary on the beneficiary form. 5 years later, Mike dies and names Phyllis, who is the successor beneficiary on the beneficiary form. So that one's going to be titled three down. Jim, deceased IRA, FBO Phyllis, successor beneficiary of Mike. Now, that's a mouthful, but that's reason enough why you don't want to do this by yourself. You didn't know that. You weren't going to know that. And that's why there's professionals that handle this. However, when you inherit an IRA, how are your RMDs calculated for the first guy? So when Jim passes away and he has a big old IRA and it goes to Mike. So let's say that when Mike inherited, his life expectancy factor was determined by the age he turned in the year after Jim's death. So they find that factor in the single life expectancy table, and that's all in that's capitalized, single life expectancy table. So I imagine you see this all the time, but for a lot of people listening, that's the first time they've ever heard of it. So let's say Mike was 62 the year after Jim's death. His life expectancy factor would be 23.5, and then it gets reduced by one each year until the inherited account is emptied. Or unless he passes away and it goes to someone else. Everyone still with me?
Yeah, but I've just got a message here. Where are you pulling this from?
Okay, this is from the GregoryRicks.com. It's from the blog, but this is from August of 2017. And I cycled through and I was going through the blog and I was like, oh, this, I remember this one. This is a good one. And it got some good traction when we posted it last summer. So sometimes we repurpose content, and I put it on Facebook today and got a message within 12 minutes.
And that was the Winning at Life page?
No, the Gregory Ricks and Associates And then I shared it on the Winning at Life page and said, we're going to talk about this on the show tonight. So it's a whole chain we have going here. Let's not start another chain. We got to stick with the original. All right. So is everyone still with me again?
Yes.
All right. So then let's say 5 years later, Mike passes away and Phyllis inherits the IRA. She simply picks up the life expectancy factor where Mike leaves off. So instead of the clock restarting again, it started at 23.5 for Mike. He lived for 5 years. So now the factor is down to 18.5, and the RMD for the fifth year will be based on 18.5, whether Mike takes it or whether Phyllis takes it. If Mike sticks around, it's going to be his, but Phyllis is going to just inherit the same table going on, and it will continue to reduce by one for each year. Now, she needs to go ahead and name her own beneficiary in case she dies before she empties the IRA account, but it's not going to get another reset.
Now, you make it sound complicated, and technically, on a non-spouse inherited IRA, the key is the date of death of the owner of the IRA. And then the year following death, you have to start taking required minimum distributions. If you're a named beneficiary, then it's based on your table. But once you figure that out right there at the beginning, it's a minus one each year.
Yes.
Simply put, where there's on a spot on your own IRA taking RMDs is another table that the IRS uses. So I always kind of think the inherited actually is kind of simple because it stays that way thereafter, even multi-generational there. But the key is kind of always know when did they die? What was their age? And then going back to the titling you talked about before we went on break is why. It's so the IRS understands who this money did belong to and who, and it kind of basically, it's like blockchain. It's listing all the people that follow in line.
It kind of is like blockchain.
It's the titling there. So it explains where it came from, who had it, then who has it now, if it does get to multi-generational, which odds are it isn't, but it can be multi-generational income.
So you got to get that titling right. You would think that's so important. All right, now here's where it can also get a little goofy here. A beneficiary can combine inherited IRA accounts that are inherited from the same individual as long as the RMDs are calculated using the same life expectancy factor. So where this comes into play, of course, if Phyllis had inherited two IRAs from Mike, she could combine them. But let's say the original guy, Jim, he left half his IRA to Mike, half of it to Phyllis. And then 5 years later, Mike dies and leaves the other half back to Phyllis. She cannot combine those because the first IRA is going to be based on her life expectancy table. And the one she got from Jim via Mike is going to be based on Mike's life expectancy table. Yeah, it sounds a lot more simple when you explain it. You've had more practice at this. It just goes by minus one every year. So there goes with that.
Yeah, we've already had a conversation about something like that this week. We did the non-qualified thing this week. There's another one. What qualified money was I doing? It was a really neat case. Oh, I'll have to think a minute about that. It was at the tip of my tongue, but I spent, 72T, that thing you're supposed to avoid. We had to do one today. Client came back in and we basically ran the calculations. Were we finished with that other story?
Well, that brings us to Terry's comment.
Let's finish it before I get in.
Because of all the scenarios that we just explored and poked through, 12 minutes after I posted this, Terry chimes in on the Facebook page and she says, does this calculation also apply when a spouse is the original beneficiary and a child or grandchild is the successor beneficiary?
See, it depends. Did the spouse take it as an inherited IRA or did they take it as a spousal IRA? Because her husband could have been 72 and she could have been 65. And if she didn't want to take RMDs, she switches it to a spousal IRA based on her age. She's not taking RMDs. So it's not an inherited non-spouse treatment to her. It's a spousal. So then it changes when it goes to that, what did you say, child, grandchild. It's a non-spouse beneficiary beyond there, unless she was to remarry and then make that spouse a beneficiary. But it's likely from there it goes to a non-spouse beneficiary, and that's where it does change to that formula. So we got to know when she died and then when the non-spouse beneficiary. So the formula simplifies there. It's just a minus one each year and goes there multi-generational. But it goes back, was it a spouse or non-spouse at the beginning?
But the spouse is the one that gets to choose whether or not she takes it as an inherited IRA or a spousal IRA?
Right, and it has to do with RMDs. Does she want them based on her age or his age?
Does she need some money now? Or?
Now, if she takes it as a non-spouse, you know, you don't want RMDs to start if you don't have to and if you don't want them. And then you may want them based on your age instead of his age. See, there's a discussion about this for the spouse at the time of death. Which scenario works out best for you? You're not going to have early withdrawal penalties. Say she's 57. A spouse is not going to have to deal with that. Nor is they inherited because there's required minimum distributions. But there's that, how do you want to handle it?
If you got a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Mortgage Gumbo with your chef, Dwayne Stein.
The correspondent lender is now over 60% of the business that's being done out there. I think what's happening with these big banks, this isn't talking about them losing profit, it's talking about them losing employees. Because you know why? Dwayne's going to get his clients the best deals out there, and they don't have to pay me to the back end.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein this Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. It's the ultimate getaway for me because it's hard to worry about business, radio, stress when I'm going 135 miles an hour in a straightaway, and then I have to slow down to about 60 in a few seconds to make that right-hand turn. Oh, the adrenaline. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks & Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
The Jefferson Performing Arts Society brings you the Louisiana premiere of Catch Me If You Can. You love the movie with Tom Hanks and Leonardo DiCaprio. Now you can experience the same amazing story as a high-flying musical comedy about chasing your dreams and not getting caught. Catch Me If You Can plays April 13th to the 22nd at the beautiful Jefferson Performing Arts Center. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
One family retiring in the first quarter of this year. He has $500,000 in assets, but he has some family issues going on, bills. He's needing to extract $100,000 from that account once he retires. And that's, once again, we know is a big taxable event. But then he's saying, hey, I need $30,000 a year in income from the remaining assets. I did the math for him in the first visit. He's going to be broke, best case, in 12 years. I can't fix that. And you don't need to pay me fees, and you don't need to take risk. Risk is not going to help you make that work. It's going to help you part from that money earlier.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
Dear Mom and Dad, please send money. I'm so broke that it ain't funny. Well, I don't need much, just enough to get me through.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. We have a few more minutes left in the show, maybe 11. You have your chance to call in, participate, get that question out there. I know you're needing a little bit of help. Maybe it's about debt, how to pay off debt, how to accelerate it. Multiple streams of income might be. That's things I like to talk about. Tax efficiency, I love that too. 504-260-0995. Download the Winning at Life app. Hey, we had one of our friends, Scott from Mobile, has downloaded the app.
Hey, welcome, Scott.
Winning at Life Nation. Kind of sent us, he's not so happy about Netflix's choices of shows they're putting on. We're going to try to get them to put us on Netflix. You know, we're streaming anyhow.
Oh, I thought he was talking about the board of directors.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about because I've not read anything about Susan Rice lately. I keep up with Netflix, but one of the things you and I've discussed off there, they have a lot of money to spend to create content.
So. They've pledged like $6 billion over the next year or two.
Yeah, so
that's a lot of TV hey, shows.
I think we should be Winning at Life on Netflix. Stream it weeknights at 7.
Yeah, or on demand.
On demand works really good too. 24/7.
Well, look, if he's complaining that they put Susan Rice on the board of directors, put the politics aside. That's a good sign. You know how long Al Gore was on the board of directors of Apple? If he's not still, is he still
him? Really?
Yeah.
The guy that invented the internet, huh?
Look, these are political plays that corporations do, and they're smart. For a long time, Hillary Clinton was on the board of directors of Walmart, and I know that sounds like, complete anathema to, you know, what her political ideology is these days, where Walmart's the most...
No, they really do want their board filled with people of authority, background...
Influence.
And influence, and typically your 20-year-old inventor that quit school to create the company, they don't let him be on the board or be the CEO. You've got to put some front guy in. But nowadays, you know, if you manage to get this thing public, you can roll with it. And up to a point, then you're going to answer to the board, even though you created the thing, because we've got a couple of them they're talking about now in the tech world that he's run his course. Somebody else should be at the helm. It's too big for him. It happens. The inventor can get fired. Hey, how about Men's Warehouse? Remember the guy? You'll look good.
Right.
In a suit or whatever. Well,
I guarantee
the board put him out.
It happens.
Yeah.
He wasn't a young buck either.
But it wasn't a tech company, but it's an example. You saw him on TV all the time.
Hey, that for me, that makes Netflix big and strong and more powerful, and you don't have to worry about them going down for political reasons, because that influence is going to help Netflix. That's the influence that may keep them from being regulated out of existence or regulated into a different form than what they would have otherwise been. These are good moves. They're just playing the game. I don't like the game. They're just playing it, though, and I can't fault Netflix for it, and you definitely shouldn't shy away from a stock because they're having – big, high name, high influence people on their board of the directors. If anything, that should make Netflix smell a little better.
Hey, got a phrase here for you. See if you can tie it into anything. Income in respect of a decedent.
Yeah, I have no idea what that means.
That's when the owner... Example of when an owner of the annuity dies and leaves the money behind, and what's being taxed? The income in respect of the decedent.
In respect of the decedent.
Yeah.
So it's taxed at the guy who's getting it level?
Yeah, it's going to be taxed at the inherited level, but it is going to be taxed, and what I'm really getting across is it's being taxed, whether it's in a trust, whether it's a spouse, non-spouse, annuities getting taxed on those gains, either within that 60-month rule or if it's taken as a lifetime distribution. it's still getting taxed. It's no workaround. Like we just talked about last segment about a spousal beneficiary of an IRA. It's not a taxable event, and she doesn't have to take RMDs if she doesn't want to, if she's under 70 and a half.
All right, Gregory. Mega Millions for the fourth time has reached the milestone of $500 million. And
really?
Yeah, and from a math standpoint, I know, that's big breaking news. From a math standpoint, though, your odds of winning the Mega Millions is 258,000 or something, or 258 million. It's past that. So does this become, I don't want to say a smart investment, but mathematically speaking, a reasonable investment? Like, it makes sense why you would throw $1 at it, because $1 can turn into $500 million, and you have a 1 in 258 million chance of winning.
So when can you play it again? It's $500 million. That, yeah, Mike could get, it's $502 million. Hey.
Yeah.
Mike could get by on that.
Right.
Not enough for a Learjet or a G6, you know, but, or buying an island, but, you know, you could get by on that. It's enough to ruin your life.
Kirk Cousins could move out of his parents' basement.
Yeah. Get him to splurge on a house. What's the drawing night? Let's see. Next drawing is Friday. So what, it's going to be $502 million?
Yeah, and it's weird to have it back-to-back because the last big winner was January 5th. I mean, the last winter period, and that was a $451 million jackpot. Shane, a 20-year-old from Florida, which this sounds, doesn't that sound horrible? You know what a basket case Florida is, and a 20-year-old named Shane won it. He claimed the prize, and he took the one-time lump sum payment.
How quick did he show up there next day?
Probably.
Yeah, those are all bad signs. Not that he took the lump sum, it's just, he showed up there the next day. It's just a bad sign when they show up there the next day. Yeah, I quit my job this morning, went and got my money.
He's probably,
you just ruined your life because
you're 20. Oh, thank God I didn't win the lottery when I was 20. $281 million when I would be dead by
you
now.
You think you'd do okay now?
Now I'd be great. Because, I mean, I got you, but now, even without you, I wouldn't kill myself. But look, if I was 20-year-old Shane, he probably showed up in flip-flops and a chewed-up Buccaneers t-shirt to pick up his giant check. We're gonna be reading about this guy in the news here in a few years, but it's
so probably what the 502, so the lump sum's probably around 250 million, 275.
Well, no, a little bigger than that, because the January 5th one was a $451 million jackpot. Lump sum was 282. So this may,
okay, this will be 300. We'll just call it 300 million. Then you're giving up half to. Well, you know, we got a tax reduction, so it's not quite half. So you may walk away with what, 170 million after taxes? Yeah. Somewhere in the ballpark there. And you blow through half of it. What should you do with the other half? Probably put it in fixed indexed annuities so you guarantee an income when you finish with the stupid stuff you're doing instead of letting it ruin your life. Then you have a income of probably $3 million a year. You know, if you put $80 million away and just partied on with the other balance of 175, you still got $3 million.
$3 million a year. The principal never gets touched. Yeah,
and you're getting taxed. So let's call it, you net $1.8 million. Tell me, you can't get by on that. You should have already bought the house, the beach house, the 10 cars. And took care of the family, friends, and the dogs in the neighborhood. You know, you've blown through a lot of money. Now, you just tell them, I don't have any more. Gregory locked it up, so me and my family would be taken care of multi-generational. That would be the plan.
All right. So,
easy.
I'm interested in that one category. So if I came to you with my $300 million, you're right. I'll only walk away with $170 million because taxes. $130 million's gone right there. That stupid money category, as you called it, how much would you recommend? I just take a year and I go crazy. I go
around
the world. Well,
here's what I would like is, you know, what, since you've got, what is your bucket list? What is it you're wanting to go and do? And it might not be too much. And then whatever you tell me, we probably double it because that's the reality of it. You're going to go help people, and you probably should set up a foundation with it. Why? That's tax deductible. So you can do some good there. Since you're giving it away, do some good. And somewhere have a, you know, what's this base amount that if you do go through all that, and not everybody will, but most do, but you go through that top half we're talking about is kind of your mad money, and you shouldn't go through it. But if you do, you've got this money set and fixed to create a check for you from now. And it's kind of the Shaq effect he did to protect his career.
All right, tell them about your day job.
Financial advisor, money manager, Gregory Ricks and Associates. You can give me a call at the office, 504-832-9200, GregoryRicks.com.
I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. See you tomorrow.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisory representative through Global Financial Private Capital. 504-832-9200 or GregoryRicks.com.